All right, how's it going, Corey Taramana here? It's a beautiful day today. It's a Tuesday, right, in the month of December, and I'm just going to start off the call. We're going to talk about enrollment. This is the most important thing that we really, really get tripped up on. Now, let me just talk personally for a little bit here. I've considered the enrollment process a sales process, and that's where I've gone wrong. But here's the thing. There are very few people that will say, hey, I am comfortable with sales. You know, very few people that will say, hey, give me the phone. Let me make a phone call. I'm going to do a sales call. I'm looking forward to it. Or, hey, let's go walk up to those people and let's start talking to them. Or even better, if you're really going to stir the pot, let's get on stage in front of people. So we're going to talk about the enrollment process. What does this really come down to? Well, it comes down to you having multiple tools in your belt for being able to enroll people into any of our various programs. Now, the one that we're going to talk about today is going to be the Inner Circle. Now, there's a few ways to enroll people into the Inner Circle. Okay, how do we start off? And then we're going to get into exactly how to overcome your fears about talking to people or making them an offer or inviting them to things. We're going to learn the enrollment process on a very, very deep level. I'm going to give you 5 simple steps to follow. It's going to outline exactly how to open a conversation, how to enroll somebody, how to give them a call to action, how to actually have them request from you to share more information with them. That's really the key of what this whole thing comes down to is the best enrollers, the best leaders, they don't push. Okay, so we want to switch the first paradigm in our mind and say, we're not pushing. We're actually pulling. And in fact, a better word for that is we're attracting. All right, so think of it as an attraction and a repel. Every question that we'll start with in stage one will be a set. It'll be a object that will go and set in the conversation, and it'll attract certain things out of them that you're talking to. I'll go into that more. I know that sounds complicated. Quick story, though. I used to avoid sales at every turn in the road, and it turned out my occupation always had to deal with sales. And what was that? That was enrollment, right? From the very first time you ask somebody out on a date. You're enrolling them. They're either going with or away from your enrollment process. And it was a process. It began from the time that you locked eyes and said hello. That's how it starts. And it never closes, okay? Here's the thing. A husband and a wife, or a husband and a husband and a wife, whatever, it's all good. Or a husband and a wife, or a wife and a husband, whatever combination you crazy, lovable people are coming up with nowadays. Crazy. There we go. Nah, I just lost. No. All right, so it's all good. However that happens here, where most people have gotten tripped up is they've stopped enrolling people into being friends, lovers, husbands, wives, business partners. You know, it's like what they say in a relationship. Who are we kidding? My specialty is relationships, and that's what we're talking about today. How do we build a real relationship to where someone goes, I trust you. Yes, let's rock and roll. I'm on your team. Let's combine and move forward as a bigger unit. That's enrollment. That's team building 101, and that's what the Inner Circle is really, really all about. Our goal is to where you're leading groups of people. And, you know, as you're prepared and as you're ready for it, you're leading people into the direction of your loftiest dreams. Yeah, you're going to have the opportunity to always sell anything that I create, and I'll teach the people, and I'll help you build teams and all that. Cool. But the end result, remember, is about you living the life that you want. See, because check it out. This is part of my enrollment process. You know, we're technically still going back to section number 2. And I'm going to go over these sections with you right now. And I want you to know, though, it's always going to be a sifting back process. You know what I mean? It's like Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You know, as soon as you reach a certain one here, and then boom, you might go back down to the base of the pyramid, right? Which is building that base level of trust. And in Maslow's hierarchy, you know, it's basic safety needs, having enough food, having enough air, you know, the basics. Let's start there. I know this, when I would psych myself out and, well, lose before I started with a sales conversation or something like that, where was my mind? My mind was trying to connect all the dots, you know, and I was trying to get them to say yes before they even said hi. You know, I was trying to put my world and my reality into theirs and just discard theirs like, hey, how you doing? I'm Corey. Your reality doesn't mean anything. In fact, it's wrong. And here, this new solution is should be your new reality. And thank you very much. You know, that's how I used to be and that's how I used to think. Instead, here's how an enrollment conversation goes in my mind first. One, I always envision that, you know, they're thanking me and hugging me as they're, you know, leaving a couple minutes in. But it's from the base place of, hey, let me go seek to understand this person. And that's where every sales conversation, every pickup line, everything might want to start. Is let's seek to understand instead of, you know, seeking to be understood. No one gives a shit about you. It's really kind of funny. If you can play a game with this and just like roll with it and let it be, your life might be a lot happier. You know, it's not often where I say, well, we're not that significant in people's lives and people really don't care about what you have going on or your struggles or your problems or even what you have to offer. People, you know, we tend to be concerned about our own ship. We want, you know, our life to go well. We want to make sure we have enough food, we have enough attention, we have enough all this stuff, right? So know going into the conversation that that's where somebody's already going to be. So from the moment you're going to meet them, they're going to immediately start defending their position and their reality. So we don't want them to feel threatened, okay? So just a real awareness that we don't go in with the attitude and the context of you're wrong, you need to change. Now, a quick thing on attitude and context before we get going. I have other trainings. I talk about this strictly and solely. And by the way, if you guys got questions, there'll be a time later on in the show. Plus, Facebook me, private message me for that. Context and attitude is the only thing that we can change at any given point throughout the day. Okay, there it is. That is one of our main tools. This means we can shift on the fly. Okay, we can be in a shitstorm or a negativity fest, or we can be in fear or doubt, or we can be anxious. Even when we're being successful, we can be stricken with anxiety and anxiousness and fear. Okay, so what we want to talk about really is being present. Where's your body? Where's your mind? Can you breathe? Are you focused? Now, where's this other person? Okay, we want to diagnose them real quick. And again, at the end of the day, once you get really good, this stuff will just naturally come as a feeling in your stomach or an intuition. As far as, you know, if I'm standing across from you, and this is where I'd love to see you guys, is to be badass enrollment machines on the fly. Meaning you can be behind your computer, and you can enroll somebody on Facebook or make a video and, you know, all that stuff. Or you could be face-to-face with somebody on the street and strike up a conversation. And then you'll be able to run them through this enrollment process and bring them on board and help change their life if it's a good fit. So let's get into this enrollment process, and I'm sure I'm going to have more, but this beginning place is a real big, big starting place of when we sit down, we're looking at somebody. You know, what's the opener? What's the question? Maybe you're going to predetermine the question ahead of time, or you're just going to, you know, you're naturally on the fly good, and you can see something on someone's shirt and make a comment about it and start a conversation. Believe me, I do new people, and they could start conversations in an empty room. Me, I had to really work for that. You know, a lot of what I dealt with in my life, you know, a little bit of my story. I grew up with Tourette's, right? And always been a self-conscious guy. And I've always been a good-looking guy, and I've been very lucky. I've always been self-conscious, you know, and I used to sit in rooms and I would shake, you know, and you know what Tourette's is. If you do, it's the inability of somebody to control verbal, physical outbursts. But I've done some real great work. Anyway, that's what started me on this whole personal growth journey. And so it's just likely now that I'm on camera, TV, and all this sort of stuff, so I have to work through it, but that's okay. So what does all this have to do with the stages of enrollments? Well, let's talk real quick about the stage numero uno, where if anything goes wrong, you go back to this point. And this is building the relationship. All right, so I've always studied the art of enrollment because that's the art of sales. Okay, you know, it's one of my companies is the art of selling anything. Because it doesn't matter, even if you're not a salesperson, a quote-unquote salesperson, you're just an entrepreneur or anything like that, you're always going to be pitching an idea. So building the relationship, stage number one, ensure you have an authentic relationship and have built sufficient trust with the person that you seek to enroll. All right, well, how the heck do you build an authentic relationship? Well, you know, it's going to have to be based on something that's real, you know. What do I always tell everybody when they first come into my sales training? I go, what's your story, you know? And why I ask that is because we all have a story. We all have a sandwich board that we wear, and it says, I'm so-and-so. This is my scope of reality, however narrow or wide it may appear to you. And, you know, this is who I am and this is what I got. So if you're busy and you're rushed and you're not going to give someone the time and you're not going to be present and you're in a conversation and you're like 100 miles away, you know, it sounds like something that you'd hear in a love movie. You know, you were 100 miles away. But it was really true. Anyway, like we're saying, with this first start, with this first stage of this process, right, we're building a relationship. We're not getting married, okay? We're not tying the knot or buying them a birthday gift. They don't have to love you. They just have to like you, okay? They just have to be like, oh, okay, so what do I do? What kind of tools do we naturally have? Everyone's different. But what's one of my main tools that I have with people? Well, I've got humor, okay? Humor is my ultimate icebreaker, and I can – if I want to, I can start a conversation with anybody normally with something humorous. If you remember, we like people who make us laugh. We just do. You know, I'm sure you've had the opportunity to sit with a salesperson one day and they're all like serious and business. And it's like, if anything, it's like they're trying to create a fear relationship opposed to an attraction one of what they actually want. Instead, they're playing the card of, well, the fear of loss, you know, and the sense of over-urgency. Well, we're not going to do that. We don't need that. And that really screws up relationship building in the first stage. So it simply means you have to have a mutual respect and understanding of commitments. Okay. They may start to like you here through commonalities and similarities that are agreed upon. So, okay, this is really important. Let's tear that apart. So when we first meet somebody, right, you make a comment about maybe a shirt that they're wearing. Or, hey, I noticed that you're married. So am I. Hey, I noticed that you're a guy. So am I. Hey, I noticed that, you know, you're a brown-haired girl. So is my favorite cousin. You know, there's a similarity. Hey, your accent, I couldn't help but notice. Is that European or French? Oh, man, I've been dreaming about traveling to Paris one of these days. You know, can you tell me about it? Is that where you're from? Like, there's a million ways to open a conversation. One thing is the simplest. If you can just notice something, okay, we take an incredible amount of time with how we look, how we dress, how we do our hair, how you know, people will thread their eyebrows and trim their beards, all sorts of stuff. And if you can just notice one little thing that just lets somebody know, hey, you did pretty good. I noticed it. You know, that goes a long way. What I like to say is this is your chance to understand their reality. This is the hugest thing about enrollment. Everybody is coming from a different world. Imagine that they have their own world, and they're in their own world. So for you to come in, there's no better way, no more respectful of a way to come in and say, hey, tell me a little bit about your world. And this is where we begin the sales and enrollment process. It's with prodding. Okay, it's with discovery. And that's why your first couple questions can just be openers to get conversations going, to spark some humor, and to let them see the real authentic side of you. And then as we keep going on, this is where your role as an enrollment expert starts to shift. This is where you become a facilitator. Think of it like this. You're going to have a conversation. The end result, we're not concerned about that right now. We've already created the possibility going in of what can happen. Now, the possibility is going to be stage two. What I want you to know is that stage two, it was created before you ever said hi to them. The possibility is your opportunity. That's your solution. That's your end result that you want them to respond to your end call to action with. So at the end, you're going to say, hey, you know, sign up right here, or buy this, or, you know, send this to your friend, or come buy this house, or whatever, I don't know, whatever you're selling, whatever your opportunity is, that's the possibility. So that's always going to be open in the back of the conversation, and you'll always be alluding to it. But here's the big thing. True enrollment experts, they lead and facilitate the other person to the decision. All right, so now we're into stage two. So stage two, the possibility is what's in it for the other person, not for you. So we touched on this earlier. Immediately, the only thing that they're going to care about is what's in it for them. Now, they won't tell you this. Maybe they will, especially probably a really, really good businessman or business person that's kind of shrewd and doesn't have time to play games. You know, they might say, hey, listen, sounds like you're pitching me something. What's in it for me? Anyway, you're going to want to focus on what will inspire them to take action consistently with your new possibility. So listen, you might not have even told them your new possibility yet, okay? They might be alluding to it. You might be alluding to it. But they're going to naturally tell you what they need as the conversation goes on, okay? And when somebody tells you what's going on with them, they actually tell you their secret desire, okay? They tell you what they really want and how their dream world, if only they had the chance, if only there was the possibility, they'd do it. And they're going to tell you this without you even asking. All right? So with enrollment, you are in the other person's world. So you've got to design the conversation around their bullseye. Okay? So early on when you make your comment, you notice something about them, you're already fishing for what do they want? What's their bullseye look like? Okay? And we're going to get into a quick start here that in their mind, they're going to have their problem. Okay? So for instance, let's have it say the conversation is with John, and John is walking down the street, and he's got half of his head shaved. And he doesn't know. And, you know, he'd walk to you and say, man, people are treating me so strange today. You know, the guy only filled my coffee up halfway today, and this happened, and people are making strange comments to me. And I don't get it. You know, they're telling me to check my hair. Well, he may think in his mind he's wearing a green shirt and it should be blue. But really, he's got half of his head shaved, and he's got a really bad haircut. And people have been trying to tell him all day. But in his mind, his problem is his T-shirt color, okay? So what you've got, what's your solution? Well, it's a good haircut, you know? It's some good advice. But he's looking for X, and you've got Z. So now How do you align two worlds? Well, back to the thing of commonality and back to seeking to understand. What you want to do is facilitate and create the opportunity for, I believe his name was John, to tell you about the people and their comments. And then you want John to tell you about the solution that he thinks is the solution, which is the shirt. Okay, and then you want to validate him. You want to be able to say, hey, I hear you. I understand what you're saying. So, and then you're going to repeat it back to him. This is the biggest thing about when you seek to understand somebody and they feel heard, it's really powerful. Sometimes you can build a lifelong trusting relationship just by being quiet an extra 10 seconds and letting somebody talk about what they need to talk about. You know, essentially what we're doing is we're letting somebody tell us their roadmap of how to lead them, help them, and enroll them. Yeah, some powerful stuff. It's really some powerful stuff. We want to start by addressing their main objection. And this is still in creating the possibility stage two. Think for a moment, what normally do people's main objections tend to be with anything, whether that's a business opportunity like we have, a way to make money, way to feel better, look healthier, who knows, whatever it is. They're always going to have the same objections. What are they? Oh, gee, you know, let me get back to you. I don't have enough time today. I'm really short on time this week. You know, let me get back to you. I can't make a decision right now. I'm short on time. I got to be somewhere. Okay? We're going to head off these objections and build these into the presentations and the conversations ahead of time, knowing that they're going to say, I've got a time constraint. Everything you're trying to do isn't going to work right now because of that. So what do you say, right? I see a beautiful girl over at the store. She's talking to her friends. What's the first thing I walk over and say? Hey, how you doing? I've only got a couple of seconds here. You mind if I ask you a question about your X, Y, and Z? So you put a limiter, right? That's framing. I just framed the conversation knowing that, you know, I could walk into a sales conversation and go, hey, how you doing? I'm so-and-so. Look, we've only got a quick moment of time here to talk, and I'm going to try and sell you something that's going to cost you less than your coffee. And boom, I just set off everything ahead of time. You know, I'm going to walk in, I'm going to sell a little service, and there's a trial, and it's cheaper than his coffee. And just like putting these things out ahead of time. What's he going to say? Oh, man, we don't got enough money for that. Like if there's a, you know, a program, let's just say it's a money opportunity. I was pitched and sold an opportunity. Now, it was a bad time for me. I didn't go with it. But how'd they start out? They said, well, you know, we got this opportunity here. You know, we'll tell you about it in about 5 minutes, and if you're more interested, you can check out more later. Okay, that's a great approach. And I've used this approach before, and that's what most people will do. You'll notice that who's doing this really well? There's a couple of real estate people around where they're selling real estate education training for people who are starting out in the real estate game and doing flips, right? So what do? They put these signs all around town. They say, hey, real estate investor looking for mentee, right? I'm going to train you. You can make $2,000 to $10,000 every week or something like that, right? And so you call the number. Then you call the number, and the number goes, hey, go to this website and check out the 5-minute briefing presentation. Okay, it's a screening process. It's technically a call to action. So the sign is call to action. Boom, completed. You called in. You go to the website. You watch the 5-minute presentation. After the presentation, you're juiced, right? You want more. You go in further. Okay, that's the foot in the door type deal. But getting back to setting these expectations, we didn't talk much about setting expectations. We talked about comparing worlds, and that's kind of what setting expectations is, right? Immediately when anyone starts talking to anyone, what do most people tend to go to? What do they want? What do they want to sell me? Are they going to try and cheat me? What are they going to try and take from me, right? Kind of sad, but it's kind of true. That's why some people who are really great salespeople, they're like, they don't look like really great salespeople. You know what I mean? They're really easy into the door. No one ever sort of questions their motives or their intent, or they feel bad for them. Have you ever had a salesperson sell you something that you felt bad for them? In their mind, they're just like, man, people tend to say yes to me more. All right, anyway, so like we were saying, we're going to start by addressing their main objections. And this is when we're creating the possibility. This is where we're getting into our presentation, more or less. Okay, the first stage was just opening up the relationship. Now we're creating the possibility, which means we're creating the framework. It means we're saying things without saying things, which means we're making promises without making promises. Okay, we're putting boundaries around, leading. Tell me about what you have, or hey, can you help me out with this? Or hey, I want more of what you got. Tell me a little bit about how to do that. And we're getting there just by listening. Now, we're going to form a possibility where all of their objections become a moot point. Actually, we're going to build in the opposite results of their objections into a conversation. So just getting back to this, and we're going to move on fast. What tend to be the most common objections? Well, like we mentioned earlier, time. The second biggest one is money, okay? Either I don't have the money right now, I don't get paid until next week, that's just flat out too much money, or hey, I'm not the decision maker, I gotta talk to my wife or my husband or my boss first and see if they'll let me do this, or if we can afford it, or if it's in the budget. I'll get back to you in a couple months, cool, we'll call you. So that's where a lot of people go wrong. Now, with your guys' stuff and your enrollment, everyone's fair game, okay? You might get that someone needs to talk to their wife or their husband or their boyfriend or something other. That's fine. All right, let's keep moving on. We're not going into how to build the presentation yet. You'll see that we've already done all that for you. This is a really important stage. It's stage number three, and this is the one where I get sold every time. You ready for this? All right, I'm 17 years old. I'm over at a girlfriend's house. I open up her garage or her dad's garage, and guess what was sitting there? A cherry red Ferrari. Yes, that's right. I'm 17 years old sitting in a Ferrari cherry red Testarossa. The keys are in there, and she's in the passenger seat. So guess what I get to go do? I get to test drive this vehicle. Yes, yes, that's right. So, you know, 40 miles later and a half a set of tires, people need to see, feel, and experience the clear pathway for accomplishing a goal, okay? We love experiences. If you can create an experience, that's why the best storytellers happen to be the best salespeople, but the best storytellers are people that can create a scene in your mind. Then even better, they can tie you into actually experiencing the exhilaration that would happen on that cold, you know, stainless steel gear shift as you're ripping into the fourth gear, almost still redlined. I mean, there's only a certain way to explain that. And it's like, if you've never experienced that of, you know, shifting into fourth gear, redlined in a Ferrari Testarossa with the tires barely holding onto the ground, but yet still holding onto the ground because that's a serious car. You know, it's not just going to slide around like a Corvette with a huge engine in it. No, no. Ferrari's going to be ripping, but it's also going to be gripping. So that's a whole different feel and sensation. Now, to paint that picture, woo, tell you what, if you're selling cars, you're selling, you know, high-class, fast supercars. You don't want to learn how to let people test drive it in their mind before they even physically test drive it. It's, you know, it's like most boxers and golfers and athletic sports team players and all, like they win games before they even start playing them. You know what I'm saying? Like Tiger Woods or Mike Tyson, they won the match in their mind already. They visualized it. They felt it. They put themselves in the driver's seat. So let's digress real quick. This is all about stage three, putting them in the driver's seat, okay, so that they can feel, hear, see, and experience exactly what you're talking about and exactly what your solution is like. Okay, that car was my solution at the moment for being bored and restless. All right. I don't know that it was my goal, but it became my goal. So here's the other part with this. When we get into the test driving, okay, sometimes you create the possibility just by letting them open up to their pain point and tell you their problem in their mind. But you don't really even say what the opportunity is going to be, and you don't even say what the end result is going to be. And when they start test driving stuff, well, they're not test driving your product. They're test driving the benefits of your product or of products that are similar to yours and experiences and feelings. So remember, I can't test drive. Let's not go into that direction. You know, I can go endless in this way, but let me pull it in a little bit tighter. Let's get back into they need the process, okay? The who, the what, the when, the where, the how. They need it all laid out for them. They need to see that it's actually feasible now. So it's possible. Now it's feasible. Okay. And they need to believe that they can do it, even if it's only by modeling somebody or emulating a successful process or something like that. Feasible, I can give you some made-up definition of what I think feasible is and what I normally say it is, but let's ask Uncle Google real quick here. Feasible. It's possible to do easily or conveniently. All right, that's pretty cool. Possible to do easily or conveniently. I tell you what, you want me to do something? Let me give you a tip. Make it convenient, okay? Come on now. All right, so they need to believe they can do it. All right, you need to model, you need to facilitate, you need to let them emulate your success or somebody else's, right? That's why we set this up the way we do, right? You're going to be enrolling people onto your team in the 11 ways, but you're going to be letting them emulate and model me and my team and you once you get yours dialed in. Well, that's why I say I do all the training. You just bring the people in, you know, use all my sales funnels and all my sort of stuff. Just get them in the door, right? I'll take care of the rest. You just start building a relationship with them. Make sure your intent's good, and we'll take care of the rest. So test driving is what expert enrollers do better than most people. Another example. Here, just try a sample of this new health drink. Imagine having one of these sweet-tasting smoothies every morning for less than a cup of coffee. And healthier. Now what do we do? You know, we kind of described it, but if we were going to get it real good, you know, like that was from a store. They give you that to drink at a store and it drinks and it's fine. But let's say you don't have the drink in the store. What would you say? Hey, imagine picking up the cold shake and you know where it puts the frost marks on your fingers when you grab the cup. And then at the same time, you can smell the strawberry, the berry, the mango, and the banana all coming up from the fresh pour. And then you drink it, and you feel it go through your body, and it's like nothing you've ever felt before. Your body feels so alive and alert. Anyway, that's how I felt the first time I drank it. Okay, again, we're painting the picture, so be good at painting the picture, okay? This is where this takes a little bit of art. That's why this is an art. It's a skill set. So if you stink right now, I get it. If you're scared, I get it. Just stick with us and, you know, just keep learning and trying. That's all this is. If you keep trying, you'll get it. Even better than that, we're not here to get it. We're here to be really, really good. Like I said, these are skills that you're going to hopefully take and apply to what really juices you in life. Unless, you know, hey, 11 ways to make money online and sales training and all this fun stuff I do juices you, hey, you're in then. All right, let's move on to the next one. So the fourth stage, okay, reviewing here. The first was building a relationship, stages of enrollment. Then you're going to create the possibility. Then you're going to help them test drive the opportunity. Then fourth, you're going to generate the action, okay? It's the call to action. This is what it's all about. This is where people skip right to this and do the foot in the door technique, right? The salesman's at the door. They open the door. He puts his foot in the door and he says, hey, man, your carpets are dirty. I got this vacuum cleaner over here. that's cleaned 20 people's carpet. You know, it's like, actually, that's a horrible. They'll be like, yeah, and you're not bringing that in my house. But we're going to get an action from this conversation is all about extending the invitation. Okay, here's the biggie. It should be direct. Tell a person you are trying to enroll them and how much you would like him or her to participate or to support your efforts and to offer them something. Okay? Maybe you're offering them more information, a gift, or the benefits of that actual product. Okay, so always set a deadline around your request. So, you know, I've done a lot of training on men's team and leadership teams and groups like that. A lot of events we've done. Okay, so you can tell somebody, hey, or you can enroll somebody to do something for you. Hey, tell you what, this next week is going to be really big. We've got to touch base with, you know, accounts 1 through 5. Okay, so if you would call them, get back to me, let me know what they said or what their status is. Okay, great, they're saying fine. Now, that was on Monday, and it's Thursday, Friday rolling around, and what's happening? You're building resentment. Your expectations weren't met. But there was no agreement made other than, yes, I'll do it. So you got to put a time constraint. So and they say, yeah, I'll be glad to touch base on those accounts. Okay, will you have the report back to me by the end of the day? Oh, so you send somebody a link. Okay, to check out, which leads them into one of our magic funnels, okay? You sign them up on the spot, and they say, hey, I can't check my email. I don't got that hooked up on my phone. You say, okay, I've got your phone number. Will you check out that link when you get home like you said you would? And they'll say, yeah. And you say, okay, would you send me a text over with what you think? And they'll say, yeah. So now you got them in agreement. Now they're going to send you a text. And you might even say, hey, let me just check your phone number just in case. That way, if they don't send you a text by 5 o'clock, oh yeah, you want to say by nightfall, you send me a text when you're done. They say, yeah. That way you can call them that night or the next morning just to follow up. Hey, I didn't get a text from you. Agreements. Remember, we can only inspect from somebody, and this comes from years of leading people and when it's really like leading a bunch of stray cats, but really here's how it goes, and it boils down. It says, you can only expect what you're willing to inspect as a leader, right? And I know the men's team is for teaching you this the hard way, but you could have a team full of people, and you can't expect anything from them if you're not going to do the hard work afterwards and say, hey, you know, you said you'd check out this link, or hey, now you're on the team, okay, and you're with 40 other people, and you'd said you'd show up on this call. Where were you? What happened? You're inspecting them, right? Because they're on your team, and you're the leader. So leaders have to inspect their team, especially if you've got a staff or an executive team. You've got to hold people accountable, right? That's how this all works. Practical thing that we run into is, hey, you're on my team, right? Your card ran out last month. The expiration date didn't get updated, and you said that you'd keep it updated. So now we got an issue. You know, it's like always keep inspecting. Hey, could you update your card? It didn't go through this last week. I think you got the email on that. Anyway, this is really important. Now, this goes into some of the higher ticket sales, okay, that we do for people. But I'm going to tell you the strategy behind it because you may want to do it for yourself. We don't just offer anybody what we have to offer. Okay, they have to be qualified, and it has to be a process, right? We call that protecting your offer, and that means that you only give your offer or your solution that's on the other side of your call to action at the right time, once they're ready and once they're asking for it. Okay, so like, what do you think spam is? Spam is where people get a bunch of email addresses and they spam out a message or an offer, okay? Well, that's the reason why the law says you can't spam people because it's not cool. Just like giving someone an offer to join your team, even if they're going to make $1 million the first year, even if it's the greatest thing since sliced bread, you don't go and throw your offer in their face just because it's good. There's a warming up process. That's the art of enrollment. That's what we're talking about today. Because you've got something that's really, really good, okay? They need it. That we know of. I wouldn't have created this if people didn't need a way to make money and learn how to sell. And they wanted it to be a hands-off project that they don't have to serve at the end. People want that. Well, I got that. But here's the thing. We have to create an enrollment conversation and an enrollment process. Now, a couple things I've done to help shorten your learning curve and make this easier is, you know, I've created those sales conversations and enrollment processes for you. Those are called the magic funnels. Those are sales processes that once we give away a gift or something like that, or an ebook or a survey results and free trainings and fun stuff like that, then people go through our sales process. That technically is our enrollment process. We do it for you. But the opening and the beginning parts of this, and where you're really going to start to see exponential numbers, is when you're your own master enroller. Okay? I'd rather teach you how to become one of the best enrollment experts so you can create a team, and then you can train your team. Then your team will take care of you for the rest of your life. So let's talk about the call to action real quick, and we're going to go ahead and wrap this up, and I'm going to get into the fifth in just a second, last and final fifth step of your enrollment conversation. So you're going to give them a small call to action, okay? You're going to give them a time period in which to do the call to action, and then you're going to lead them with a sense of urgency. Now, it's not the sense of urgency like, well, I guess it is. It's like if you know, it's like you're walking away and you're like, and if you don't dip your head in the bucket of water, it's going to stay there and continue burning. You know, that's a sense of urgency. Your head's on fire, dunk it in the water. I'll see you later. You know, what do people use for a sense of urgency? Well, there's only 5 left, okay? And, you know, there's only 10 minutes left until this offer expires or doubles. Now, here's the thing. That's okay to do, okay? Especially if it's real. You know, if there's legitimate, like there's a class that I have, okay, it'll be one of my mastermind classes. There's only 12 seats in there. So I can legitimately say on an email, hey, I've got 10 people. There's only 2 seats left. Don't get left out, right? Grab one of these right now. Click the link down below. I can say that because it's real. So protect your offer. Give a call to action. Make sure there's a time period on there because, look, we're lazy. You don't give me a time period. You don't get my agreement on it. It's not getting done. Not because I don't like you. Not because I'm just a bad person. It's just because we're human, all right? Let's talk about the fifth. This is the fifth step on the 5 stages of enrollment. All right, how to sell, how to enroll. So now we've built a relationship, okay? We've uncovered, created a possibility. They know which direction to go. They've test-driven this now. They feel it. They need it, right? The need for the speed. Then they're going to generate the action, okay? Conversation is all about extending the invitation to them, the offer, the opportunity. And then at the end, you're going to uncover possible breakdowns. Now, sometimes this will get done in front of them. Sometimes this will get handled earlier on in the conversation, right? Like we did with the objections. We put those into the presentations. We also uncover possible breakdowns. But, for instance, there will always be facets of a project that do not go as planned. Okay, these possibilities should be addressed during this enrollment period. For instance, I mentioned somebody's credit card. Okay, this is what I tell them. Like, for instance, they're going to sign somebody up for the inner circle. And that is $297 investment a month, every month, where you get 50% plus commissions on that. So to uncover possible breakdowns, what's the most obvious? Well, people put down credit cards and the expiration dates run out, which means that their payment doesn't go through, which means you don't get your commission, which means the people underneath you don't get their commission. You know, so this is something we head off early on. We say, welcome in and congratulations. Now, here's how this works. You're going to be getting paid commissions off of the people that we enroll together on your team, and the products that they buy, and the people that they enroll. And how it works is they invest in the club with a monthly tuition. That's $300 a month. And what we want to avoid is we want to have you staying on top of your credit card information. Use a credit card. Keep one handy that won't be expired this year. You know, so we tell people that ahead of time. That's how to uncover possible breakdowns. What's another possible breakdown of this? Well, let's say, here's a recent one. Let's say that you've got a friend and they speak Spanish, okay? And, you know, they say, hey, man, I've got so many friends who speak Spanish that live here in the United States that would be perfect for something that you have going on like this. And I said, yeah, but you know what? They're going to show up and they're going to expect me to speak Spanish. And I said, man, I can't talk Spanish. And he goes, oh, don't worry. They speak English too. Well, let's uncover some possible breakdowns. Who do you think they're going to be talking to in their native tongue? Well, more people that speak Spanish. And guess what happens? People come expecting a different language, and they get unserved expectations. The needs were unmet. So all this comes into the enrollment conversation. So let's wrap this down. I've been talking for a lot here. Hopefully you've been taking notes. Hopefully you go back through this. Just check it out one more time. What are we getting at? You're an excellent salesperson. You're an expert enroller. My goal is to help you apply this to any area of your life. Most notably, though, the programs that we got going on, the opportunities that we have in-house, the magic funnels, the inner circle team, getting you commissions on everything I sell. The goal is to give you the tools to be an enrollment machine. You can enroll someone and make money at the grocery store, behind your computer, on your phone, whatever you want. That's my main goal, and to help you create the type of life that you want, and using this as a springboard, and really just letting this be your business. Everything's been done for you, so you really just, it's turnkey now at this point. The rest is just taking care of the skills, the timing, the pacing, and keeping you accountable. Remember, that's one thing you're going to be doing for your team. As you start acquiring more and more people on your team, you're going to be leading them. And you're going to be having these same conversations with them. And you're going to make sure that they get this recording. And you're going to make sure that they get the other recordings and watch them and consume them and then take action, small action. This stuff builds, you know, exponentially. Okay, well, I want to thank you so much. I hope you got a lot from this call, and this is why the enrollment process is so, so important. And these are the five stages. So next time, you're going to have a conversation, start building a relationship. Okay, it all starts there. Then you create the possibility. Then you let them test drive the opportunity or the experience. And you're going to generate the action. Sign up here. Click this. Be at my house at 7. Show up here. And you're going to uncover the possible breakdown. It's basically reconfirming your agreements, saying, hey, let's watch out for this stuff, but we're still on for 7 o'clock tonight. Now, if there's any traffic, just text me and let me know you're going to be a little bit late. You know, traffic, possible breakdown. Hey, if your cell phone goes out, just know I hand wrote your, not way too far of an example. All right, cool. Hey, so thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed this. I'm going to talk to you real soon. And until then, have an excellent day.